"Can you spare some change?" she says to me as I head to something someone that's not me considers more important. That's a good question, I think, but don't respond because the tone in which I thought it seethed sarcasm. My initial thoughts, well, I think they were my initial thoughts, I'm always thinking, are on finances. Some email reminders saying I owe things to people who already have way too much money, that they put massive aviaries and greenhouses on their properties, yet hate birds and vegetations in general. Thank you very much. Finances. Fine. Ha! Just finances. School in debts to deranged, ne'er rearranged institutions claim to change thought, cling to unchanged periwigs, unchanged diapers. We wade through thick knee-high cranberry pools looking for that change and realize it's owned by a chump that sold us on a cheap line that education only lives in lecture halls and tricorn graduation caps, not in living itself. Education didn't exist pre-859 AD in Fez, Morocco. Debt threats from the bank. Hello, Mr. Cooper. It's sad to consider... Debt threats from the bank. Hello, Mr. Cooper. Oh, debt threats from the bank. Hello, Mr. Cooper. It's sad to immediately consider polite voices on the telephone as deceivers. The receiver slams, and I'm slammed with a traffic-jammed brain stained with worries, prattling and rattling in my skull like untied-down things in the back of a moving van going over cobblestoned roads. But change is unstable movement. It's buying and possibly paying for the words of a politician. Believing the ideological structure that constitutes our freedoms will fluctuate its position from sitting to standing. It's the flight. It's the flight that makes it to its final destination and the one that crashes into the sea. You become the ocean. You become a new diverse ecosystem and it's just swimming. It's the life of a nomad. It's the life of a nomad and the hardships of friendships over endless emails and months of silence. Nomad silence is trusting you'll still be there when the snow thaws. It's a lifestyle. It's eating meat for the first time. It's refusing to eat meat anymore or cherries. It's a lifestyle. It's refusing to eat meat anymore, or eating meat for the first time, or cherries, and realizing that all this time that you thought you hated them was because you associated them with the taste of the maraschino ones. Huh. It's a haircut. It's, what the fuck did you do to my haircut? It's a new hat to wear over a bad haircut. A new item of clothing, and stepping back from that mirror. It's a new haircut. It's a... What the fuck did you do to my haircut? It's a new hat to wear over a bad new haircut. It's a new item of clothing. And stepping back from the mirror and deciding if what you see is you, it's the reactions of others to these new additions and subtractions. It's your reaction to their reaction. It's regression due to disapproval. It's progression without their approvals. For some, it's safer without equations. With the repeated sounds from unjumpy sources they know way too well, the repeated images on pastel wallpaper, the same bland repeated item placed on unpatterned white plates for every meal repeatedly, repeatedly, repeatedly. Yes, change is unconventional food for thought. It's quitting that retail job you've worked at since you were 15, but we've always been loyal to you. I didn't know loyalty meant paying you the bare minimum to survive in a city where working individuals pay to sleep on couches in the middle of a living room and children's sandwiches are two pieces of bread and mayonnaise. Loyalty is bare minimum sandwiches. Change is a different route to work, and lifting your head up from that cellular device to look at the last yellow and gold fall trees, leaves, semicircular rotations on weakened stems, axles, dancing, prancing, beautiful. It's not lumping people together, or being lumped yourself, because we learned on Old MacDonald's farm how to categorically identify domesticated animal, and it makes it easier if they just had one voice. E-I-E-I-O. Listen closer. They're all shouting in different registers for different things, like organ pipes en masse. All right. Okay. If they're not individuals, then how can you ever tell your son or daughter that they are special because in your eyes, they are white, they are brown, they are Arab, they are middle class, and can never be more or less than that post-it note summation of identity? Change is not the tsunami, but what we do after it. Change is not easy. Change is not religious. Change has no platforms. Change has no time for speeches. Change is never speeches. Change talks only in dialogues, in words that are dictated into a petition, into a smartphone device, asking for the direction to Vancouver City Hall, where you and 1,000 other Facebook followers will yell up at that neon clock tower, "We want change. We want change, and we will not leave until we get that change." Change makes me feel guilty to write this poem in past tense. Change is tomorrow, but not putting it off with, "We'll get to it tomorrow," but actually tomorrow, or today even, why not? Change, we don't want to admit, is selfish. It makes us feel good. It's self-involved, but it also affects others. Change is a tropical body of water. Whew. Its color is not defined by the drops that form it, but by what it sits upon below. So can I spare some change? I can spare some change, I tell myself. I can spare some change, I walk away from the cold woman. I can spare some change, I'm warm. The cold woman, I'm still warm. She's the cold woman still.